The University of Detroit Mercy presents an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program. Today's show takes us back to September 2005.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today is the start of a new academic and recording year for us all.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. So let me introduce them to you. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Divine Chair, it's Barca Lounger, it's Ottoman, it's everything, Professor Beth Oljor.
Great to be here for another year, Bushdahl.
Oh, we are so happy to have you back, and you had a great summer, I hope?
Yes.
I'm
glad to be back in school.
I know.
I miss the students.
Yeah, in this first 2 weeks of school, the halls are definitely alive with student bodies, which is wonderful for us.
Right.
Very
big
good.
Big classes this time.
You do. So. You're definitely hooking the limit there. But they want to take you for philosophy, so that's a great thing.
I'm down with that.
And we know you are. So around the table, on the other side, on my right, at the far end of the table, from the department of pre-college engineering programs and someone who knows and loves math and inspires others to do the same, it's Professor Dan Mascio. And Dan is also a new daddy.
He has
a free child named Peanut, a cat of his dreams, once he grows out
my
of
nightmare.
His fearful kitty state.
And I'm sick today, too, so you'll have to excuse my head cold.
But when you get home,
but I did Peanut adopt a kitten from the neighborhood shelter.
You will have kitty cuddles when you get home.
That's right.
And he doesn't cuddle. He
not yet.
Bites.
Well, right now he's just kind of testing those teeth, you know, like a child teeth. I'm sure cats have to teeth, too.
Well, I'll tell you one story about him.
Sure, let's hear it.
Like a couple of weeks ago, he wakes me up every morning about 4:30.
Oops.
So, and I usually push him aside, and that's almost always the end of it. So I kind of turned, laid over on my back, and I was trying to go back to sleep. This is funny, but it's not. So here, I feel his paws crawling on my back. I was like, oh. And next thing I know, he nips the back of my head. He bites my head.
Oh, damn.
So I turn around. I mean, you can half asleep. And I kind of swatted him lightly. Well, I was
okay.
Half asleep.
Well, sure you were. Okay. And has
to which
he stopped?
Looked at me with fear and ran out of the room.
Our dog bit Drew in the butt. He was sleeping
so
in the same
better.
Bed.
It was play bite. It wasn't teeth in the, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was enough to scare him. At 4:30 in the morning, it's not exactly what
No. You wouldn't be looking
you're
forward
for.
To that. To my right, from the Department of Mathematics and Math Education, it's Professor Jeff Bouts.
Howdy.
Howday. So no new cat children, but what's going on in your world over the summer?
Let's see. I went up to Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go via Kirkland Lake like last summer, so I didn't visit your old hometown. But I got some really great seafood and it's the first time I ever had real French food. Now I know what everybody's raving about.
Oh, I know. Were you in Montreal or in Quebec City?
3 days Montreal, 4 days Quebec City.
Montreal. Oh, what a city. What a place.
Best part is I bumped into some people who were doing this film festival, gore horror film festival, short films.
Wow.
And it was all in French, French-Canadian, you know, Quebecois French.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't understand everything, but
that's okay.
But it was so cool, and I met a lot of great people.
Wonderful.
And gore translates across.
I was going to say,
yeah.
I'm so envious.
Blood is red all over the world.
That's it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Wow.
Except when it's zombie blood, then it's green.
No, that's exactly right.
They're dead, they're all messed up.
Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about kitties, about zombies, about Montreal, about gore, about philosophy, about whatever you want. And this year, you'll get an additional prize if you stump the panel or do not stump the panel. Not only will you win one of our fabulous T-shirts, but we're also returning to the tradition of the autograph photograph or the photograph autograph.
Oh, neat.
So we're trying to devise where shall we pose here on campus to do that, because our campus has come alive with flowers and lots of plantings.
And
out between Briggs and Chemistry.
Absolutely.
We should go
we have
out
a
there.
Whole new mall
I almost
area.
I felt like writing a congratulation note to somebody,
because
I wasn't sure who to send it to. So.
Father Starkhausen.
Maybe I should.
But it's gorgeous altogether. Mm-hmm. So we want to share our view of the campus with you, and so you can see what we look like as we natter over the waves at you. So how do you do that?
In
how
our natural habitat?
That's right.
Kind of like animals in the wild?
That's exactly right. So how can you get those questions to us? Well, you can send them to the www.udmercy.edu/ATP for Ask the Professor website, or even send them care of the U.S. Postal Service. Break down and spend that money on a stamp. That's care of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, Post Office Box 19900, Detroit, Michigan, 48219. What would be the best way to start off a new year of Ask the Professor? Except
Bert-tilly questions.
Yes, it's gotta a set be. Of questions from the one, the only, the man. It's Bert.
Bert.
And he writes, "Dear Profs, as I write this set of questions, it is the middle of summer, and in Alabama, that means it's hot. The temperature is a roasting 99 degrees. So if you're reading this during the dead of another Detroit winter, keep in mind that it's hot."
I wonder if Bert's town is hosting any of the Katrina victims.
I wonder. Well, we'll let him know when we email him back. Yeah. Wow. Because that is, yeah. He said the topic is stuff. 14 out of 18 is passing. So that would be?
77.8%.
Throw down, Jeff. Ooh, wee.
7/9.
Okay.
Makes me want to not even try math.
Oh, come on. Sure you
I have a tasteless joke that I saw on a website. Can I tell it?
Sure.
President Bush was asked, "What's your opinion on Roe versus Wade?" And he said, "I don't care how people get out of New Orleans."
Okay.
So that was really a dig on President Bush.
Yes, it was.
And not on the unfortunate
not on the victims. That's right. I must say, though, although
I don't like him, he had some good ideas in that address last night where he talked about rebuilding.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was watching HGTV. Was he on last night?
Yeah, he did. And he said I heard some good things.
Well, all I want to know is, did he say them because he really feels sorry for what happened, or did he say them because he's trying to save face for his party?
Well,
yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yes,
well, if it's the latter, then I don't care.
Got it. Okay, so here we go back to stuff. All right.
These grand generic categories.
I was
going to
wonder stuff, like things. Okay. Due to a misunderstanding between his crew and natives, who suggested a name for America that means you've got good clothes. Late in life, this man spent 12 years in the Tower of London and was eventually beheaded. He had been a favorite of Elizabeth I during most of her reign, but not long enough, obviously. Name this man who designed a ship that helped defeat the Spanish Armada and organized several expeditions to the New World.
Oh, Drake.
Not Drake.
Or Raleigh.
Sir Walter Raleigh. Because he's the famous Roanoke Island thing. Mm-hmm. What is it, Virginia? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That there's always
the
this mystery.
That disappeared.
Yes.
Ooh. With no explanation.
That's I'm right.
To think of you've got good clothes in different languages and coming up with anything that sounds like a land.
Yeah, I mean, a name for America that sounds like you've got good clothes. I really would like to know.
So instead we named it after some weird Italian guy.
Amerigo Vespucci, mm-hmm. the great cartographer, the map maker and all
that. Makes
that.
A little more sense.
True. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a cooler sounding name. This name comes from the novel The Shockwave Rider. The first one to attract worldwide attention was created by Robert Morris in 1988. Not part of another program, these are often used to send out spam from the computer of unsuspected users. What are these programs similar to viruses called?
Oh, I was going to say viruses. Whoops.
I know. That's what I was like, oh, okay.
It's not a worm, is it?
It is, yes. Now, has anybody else here been getting like some really bizarre stuff on their email?
Yes.
Not that I can say on the radio.
I know.
There's spam that my computer doesn't block.
Thank you.
Should not be sent to me.
Yeah, yes. I refuse to open my email in front of students anymore.
I know. Oh, Jeff is right. There's some pretty shocking things that are coming up on that screen there. Yep. Woohoo. Well, yeah, not a fan of that.
But don't you use spam blocker? The university blocker?
Yeah, but I'm using it, and some of that still weaves
I still get stuff
there.
Coming through. You know, my favorite ones, which I get, and I don't know if you've gotten any of these, but they're hilarious. I mean, they're worthy of posting on my door. It's, hi, my name is, I'm a lawyer in the Canary Islands, and I represent, you know,
Dorothy McClure
or whatever. She died and left $120 million in the bank, and we must transfer it to your country.
Mm-hmm.
They're hilarious.
Yes, I get those.
Do you ever get them? They're
so
hilarious.
Weird.
I'm sure I have.
They're really funny.
And they're very formally written. I mean, very little stilted English.
What Yahoo would respond to this?
What's my fear is I can see somebody thinking, I hit paid or here. You know, that's my fear is that somebody's going
to
respond.
One sucker a week is $60,000 a year they'll make off.
Oh, yeah, okay. Isn't that sad?
It is.
But when I get those, I have to admit, I do open them and read them because I do find them as hysterical as you do.
They are hilarious.
Our next category, says Bert, is name that sea creature.
Okay.
These are a couple questions regarding aquatic beings. Its upright position and headset at the right angle to its body gives it a truly unusual appearance amongst all other fish. It also has a joined armor that makes it look like the knight in a chess set. Mm-hmm. He said, hint, the genus Hippocampus.
Name little that. Seahorses?
Little seahorses, absolutely. Okay, does anybody remember like the South Park episode with the sea creatures that Cartman raised?
Vaguely.
Yes.
Sea people are seamen equals sea society.
That's right. Sea society. Absolutely. One of my favorites. These animals are elongated, cylinder-shaped, with the skeleton reduced to form microscopic ossicles of various types in connective tissue. The mouth and anus are on opposite ends of the body.
That's always a good thing.
The social situations would be terrible.
Yeah, really. Are at opposite ends of the body, and most species have five bands of tube feet that run from end to end. It is a non-sea counterpart in green, and it cannot swim, and resembles something very popular in summer salads. Name that sea creature.
The sea cucumber.
It is, exactly. But when you think about it, the description of it, maybe that's how they named it, I guess.
I think so.
Do they actually look like cucumbers?
I have no idea.
Apparently.
We need to do that www.discoverychannel or something.
That's right.
Or Google on sea cucumber.
National Geographic.
Absolutely. These creatures usually attach themselves to rocks and shells, although a few species can bury themselves in sand and mud. They have tentacles to catch food and a strong foot able to attach itself to rocks.
Snails.
Next. Well, any mollusk, right?
No, I mean, this has a special name to it, which I would have gone with the mollusk, totally.
Junior sea squirt.
Yeah. I like the way that sounds, though.
Okay, it can attach its... I mean,
you're talking about like coral or barnacles or stuff like that.
The only hint he gives is that it's in the class Anthoza.
I don't know that one.
It's the sea anemone. I'm not sure what the spelling here. But while we think about sea creatures, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Really? Did he give you a discount or a freebie? Or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Our next set of questions comes from Kathra. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
I don't know. From Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJK changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, so
this is our worst. Yeah,
since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
chairs. You come to Detroit, we'll put you on the
show.
It's
nice that somebody actually cares about
it. That's wonderful.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program recorded in September 2005. Featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator on UDM's Ask the Professor.
All right, back it up. Indeed. Yes, indeed. And the Stones were just rolling through here in Detroit. They played down at Comerica Park. And
cool.
Yes, that would be a great venue. But mm-hmm. we're back with this, the one, the only, the man, Bert Tilley. These are questions on stuff. And so far they've been about sea things, sea stuff.
Oh, I got a joke about sea creatures for you.
Let's hear it.
Well, there's that junior sea squirt that I mentioned, and it spends all its life looking for a piece of coral to latch onto. As soon as it finds that right piece of coral, it latches on, and because it no longer needs its brain, it eats it. It's a lot like getting tenure.
Okay, no, don't say that. It's everything like getting tenure. No, just kidding. Okay. Here we go.
Amen.
Also known as pygonids, these marine invertebrate animals are distantly related to those we more commonly relate to this word. They have many legs, a thin body, sometimes giving the impression of being entirely composed out of legs. There's no special respiratory or other organs connected to this animal.
What kind of centipede?
No, but another kind of creepy crawly.
A millipede?
No. A lot of people claim to be afraid of them. I think Susan...
A spider.
That's right, a sea spider.
Oh.
I've never seen these things. Has anybody seen all these creatures?
Well, the sea millipede or centipede, yes.
Yeah, okay, you have.
I am afraid of them.
Okay, now he said let's turn to four-letter words. Well, maybe we shouldn't. Oh, okay, these words are all right.
As long as they're clean.
Like these are clean Bert. Words, yes. Okay, like Bert, yeah.
This is the show where Bert is a four-letter
Jeff?
Word.
Yes, that's it.
Jeff
yes.
is not a four-letter word. It's a five-letter word. J-E-F-F-E. Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Everybody else spells it really funny.
Okay.
I'm J-E-F-F-E.
This term refers to the change in acceleration over time, or someone who you don't really like. It fits both.
Jerk.
Yes.
Oh.
I always crack up my Calc 1 class explaining that to them.
And they don't get it?
That's how they define jerk?
Yeah, well, like when it's the derivative of acceleration or the third derivative of distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you feel like when you press on the gas pedal and you slowly rock back in your seat, or when you brake and you slow down and when your car comes to a stop, you sort of lean forward a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the jerk.
Okay.
It's also what makes trains start instantaneously. It just jerks and
into motion.
And moves. That's why you don't play in your trains, kids.
That's exactly right.
Because when they move a lot in a hurry.
Yeah, you can't imagine how fast. Analogous to the metric system unit kilogram, this is a unit of mass used in the English system. This would also refer to most teenagers.
It's not pound.
No, not pound.
Brat.
Yeah, there is that.
I was thinking dine, but it doesn't
fit. No, this is more even of...
pint?
No.
No.
Kilogram in the British system?
Yeah, in the unit of mass in the English system.
English system.
I've never heard this, and I swear I've been in the British Isles quite a bit, but... Slug. S-L-U-G.
Oh,
yeah.
You're right. Yeah,
okay.
Sure. I've heard it now.
I didn't realize that was...
It's a new one on me.
Isn't it just? But that's yeah. Slug is usually, as I say, that I used to refer to my teenage nieces and nephews who never would clean their rooms. You slug. Get in there. This refers to the variation in the amplitude of two interfering waves with nearly the same frequency.
Mm.
The difference in the amplitude?
Yeah. The variation in the amplitude of two interfering waves with nearly the same frequency.
Okay, can't be feedback. That's not a four-letter word.
No. Four-letter word.
Phase
Dick
shift.
Clark used to get a lot of people complimenting songs saying that it had a good
beat.
That's right, a beat.
Oh.
Now, I give it a 98 because it's got a good beat and I can dance to it, Dick.
I can dance to it, absolutely, which is one of the best reasons for music.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I was going to say that's...
I didn't know these terms had technical definitions.
I know, neither did I. This is interesting. Okay. This allows people to look directly into a camera while maintaining eye contact with the interviewer. And this was used to speak to mole rat specialist Ray Mendez, lion tamer Dave Hoover, topiary gardener George Mendaca, and the designer of bug-like robots Rodney Brook. These men appear in the 1997 Errol Morris documentary, whose title comes from a paper by Brooks subtitled "A Robot Invasion of the Solar System."
I'm lost.
Yeah, say that. Repeat the beginning of that again, please.
Or is this so weird?
Are we still in four-letter words?
No, he's just kind of switched topics now. Okay. So what he's looking for is the main title, because the subtitle of this was "A Robot Invasion of the Solar System." And this is done by the mole rat specialist Ray Mendez, lion tamer Dave Hoover, topiary gardener George Mendaca, and the designer of bug-like robots, Rodney Brooks. There was a documentary made about these guys.
Something about their ability to stare you down, their eyes.
Or kind of the title is Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. No, oh, you know it. Okay.
Well, I've heard it
neither
before.
Have I. I've not
Plus
heard it.
Plus, it's on that air freshener I gave you.
Exactly. Well, that was also cheap and in the back seat, so there you go. Okay. Questions for the panel. Guys, how did you do during the NHL lockout?
Oh, we coped. Basketball. We got Detroit Pistons basketball.
Okay. Dan, how'd you feel?
I was fine. Although, we didn't get a chance to go to Windsor.
No.
We had that blizzard.
Blizzard,
I know.
Yeah.
That was going to be our makeup.
Don't worry. We'll get back there. We'll get back there because Windsor's got a great team this year. The OHL Spitfires have signed on new blood.
We'll be all over the plexiglass by game two.
Okay. Beth, how did you survive as a woman? Speaking as a woman.
I'm not a hockey fan, so it actually didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Although I was curious to see if and when they were going to work this out because I know that you guys are all such hockey fans.
Indeed. Okay, specific questions for the panel. Dan, is your watch band made out of leather or metal?
Look at it first.
Yeah, no,
well,
like,
thanks.
Dude.
It is leather and canvas. Would this be considered canvas weave?
Yeah, I think that is more like
it
material, isn't it?
It is a Swiss Army watch from Eddie Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
You can open wine with it?
I can open wine with it? No.
No,
it's can do with Swiss Army.
Swiss Army stuff. That's okay. Right. There we go.
It's very cheap, but useful.
I like okay. It. Jeff?
I never wear a watch.
Okay.
I don't like the feeling of being constricted by time.
Good man.
Also, when I was about 17, I was in a building. They got hit by lightning, and some of it got in through the circuitry. Yeah. So I was fine, but I got zapped a little bit.
Oh.
And sometimes, like, small devices will just, like, not work. Seriously.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't like wearing a watch anyway.
It totally freaked you out.
No, it was so cool because every muscle
okay,
every
wow.
muscle in my body contracted like for about a second. It was like the 1 second workout.
Wow.
Tense yourself up as much as you can, and that's a quarter, maybe a third of your muscles all at once. But when I got zapped, everything went.
Oh, I
you know?
Bet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
It was kind of neat.
Beth, your watch.
Metal.
It's metal. And very attractive, I must say.
And, of course, has to be on my right wrist since I'm left-handed.
That's exactly right. Well,
yes.
Mine is like Dan's, except mine is on my left arm. But mine is also a combination of material and leather, I admit it.
I can't bear not to know what time it is.
My father forced that on us. You are so fortunate. He was so fanatic about time.
Wasn't it directly? You know?
Oh, I know. But still, you still had that.
Well, I typically don't wear mine, unless I'm at work. I have a good sense of time, usually.
I wear mine all the time. The only
too.
Time I take it off is to shower or swim. I constantly wear a watch, even when I sleep. I know that's probably weird.
That is weird.
It is weird. I know it. I know.
I sleep.
No,
I do.
Mine goes off and then until Monday morning I won't.
No.
There are
again.
Weekends where I don't put my watch on all weekend.
My sister Anne believes in your philosophy. What? She calls it the crude reminder of time and duty.
Well,
so she refuses to wear them.
I used to have a pocket watch. That way I wouldn't be constrained by time.
Ah,
I would have time in my pocket.
Pocket. Okay.
But now everybody has a cell phone. Nobody wears a watch anymore.
I know.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Everybody here wears a watch.
Yeah, I know.
None of my students do, though.
Oh, I know. Well, that's
And I don't have a cell phone. I'm sort of in principle refusing
to get one. Now, he has a question
one.
For Greg Hrabowski, who won't be here until next
it.
Week.
We'll do it.
Should they try to bring back the dodo bird and other extinct animals?
No.
I believe Greg would say yes, but I would say no. Their time has come and passed.
Okay.
They
unless
had their
we, unless humans did something to cause it,
yeah.
Okay.
I would say that they had their time.
Okay.
Nature knows best.
There we go. Good idea.
Watch Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
That's
there
the reason
we go.
Why you don't bring
And his back. Final question to all of us, how was the fishing this year?
I don't know. Fish.
Do any of you fish?
I occasionally with my dad will fish,
okay.
But that's just the talk of my dad, really.
Really? Okay, I was going to say, like, okay, whatever.
I mean, I eat fish sometimes.
My grandpa
it was good.
Wouldn't take me fishing. He said I talk too much.
No,
I
when we were young,
fish
we
away, so he would let
do.
Me go.
Just go down to the dock on the bay.
Oh, in Erie, yeah.
And fish for perch.
Ooh, lake perch. Now, that'd be nice.
The best.
Yeah, I bet.
The best.
You get pretty wild in Erie, PA, don't you?
They get so wild.
They really fired up, baby. Okay. Let's move back to the questions. These are now on mountain ranges.
Yeah.
He said, name these mountain ranges that all start with the letter A. This large mountain range extends
Appalachian.
Range. Yes. Okay.
Is that the only mountain range with an A that you know?
No.
It goes all the way from Newfoundland to where he lives in Central Alabama.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad. Central Alabama. Yay, Bert. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you,
It's
gosh.
Not coastal.
Oh, that is so good. You can't imagine how this is making us. That's a relief. This mountain range in northeastern New York State is sometimes...
Adirondacks. I grew up in western
New
York.
That's right. You'll be happy to know that they're considered part of the Appalachians. Yep. There you go.
So are the Alleghenies. Is that next?
Which is Pennsylvania?
I grew up right in the Alleghenies.
That's the second one that I knew when I was getting...
Alleghenies, okay. Indiana.
Because I grew up. That's where I grew up.
Well, okay. This what is about south Europe? To are the we Mohawk going? Valley. Okay.
Now, Allegheny, I think, is Seneca or Mohawk Indian for Palm River.
That's it. Okay. And then, Allegheny, and they extend 500 miles from north central Pennsylvania to south southwestward Virginia.
I grew up right on the Allegheny River.
Oh, how beautiful. Yep. West, that is a beautiful part of New York State, up the upper part, western part, that way. Because I have cousins over in Watertown, which I thought
Watertown, Allegheny doesn't go way up there.
No, it doesn't, but I just go. You have to go through there, and I think it's beautiful. This was first released, okay, and this is now just another total category, switching sides here. This song was first released as the B-side for the single Substitute, but it became a number one hit in 1979. Identify this song, which begins with the lyrics, "First I was afraid, I was petrified.
I will survive." We play it every New Year's Eve.
That's right.
They like to play that in the Alps and the Andes, I hear.
Oh, my, we have to get our disco on New Year's Eve.
That's right. And it made a star out of Gloria Gaynor. Yes. And that wasn't like her one-hitter, wasn't it?
I still love that. That was my favorite song in eighth grade, and
it was sort of a woman's anthem, and it was written by two men.
Yeah, I know, which I've always thought is really interesting. There are about 400 species in the order Insectivora, and nearly 300 are members of the of this family. Some are among the smallest of all mammals. The species of Sorex and Crocidura weigh as little as 2.5 grams, which is only like, what, 1/90th of an ounce? Right?
Something like that.
Something like that. What is the common name of this Shakespearean animal?
Shrew?
Yes. This man was tall and slender, but he impressed people with his charming interpersonal skills. However, in politics, he made a host of enemies. Theodore Roosevelt, in later years, called him a politician of monumental littleness. A member of an aristocratic Virginia family, he was chosen as the vice presidential candidate in hopes that he would attract conservative Democratic voters. Henry Clay once called him a traitor to Whiggery. Name this first vice president to succeed to the presidency. And who ran with William Henry Harrison, Old Tippecanoe.
Okay. Tyler.
Yes, it's John Tyler.
I love how Bert gives a ton of clues. It's always the last one that kind of gives
counts.
It away.
That's right. Okay, there we go.
Roy would have known it from the first clue.
Well, maybe. We hope. Since he teaches that period of American history, we really hope he does. Which current world leader spent 15 years as a foreign intelligence officer?
Good question.
Think Premier of Russia.
Putin?
That's right, Vladimir Putin.
Oh, I think I've heard that somewhere.
We got to stop there. Yeah. We still have a few more with Bert, but let me thank our panel, Professor Oljar.
See you next week.
Professor Maggio.
Thank you.
Professor Boats.
Dozvidanya mitavrushch.
Oh, Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building basement on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, witnessed, and everything by Michael Jason. And our executive producer in this season is the divine Dr. Vivian Dix. Welcome back, Vivian, to his chair of the department. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Red Wings!
And we're back next week with another edition of Ask the Professor, so please plan to join us.